You're listening to the IFL TV podcast in association with Lonsdale MTK Global, sponsored by William Hill. This is Coogan Cassis for IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast.
I'm not surprised because Everlast is my favourite sports brand. You know, I love Everlast.
Let me get him round. I was like twisting the mic.
You got to get the Everlast in. We love Everlast. They're the best sporting brand. Shout out Everlast.
We'll come back on to Everlast in a second. But I'm joined by Craig Richards. Well, I suppose the best expression for this fight is dare to be great. Dare to be great.
Yeah, I believe that you've got to dare to be great. You don't achieve anything great not taking risks. And that's why I'm here. You know, I believe I can win. And that's why I've signed up for the fight.
I was just talking to your trainer, Peter Sims, there. And I said to him about how kind of the fight came about. And he said to me, we asked for the fight. I was like, what? He's like, we asked for the fight. I suggested it to Craig. Craig took a split second to say, yeah, let's have it. Let's have it with Bivol.
Yeah, 100%. It was a situation, obviously, after I won the British title. We were looking to see where we was going next. But I've been world-ranked in the WBA top 10 for about 2 years. So we was looking at these sort of fights, like mapping them up in the future. And we was going to take, like, maybe one more fight before pushing on to these sort of fights. But instead, we wanted to obviously win the British title, crown ourselves the British champion before pushing on. And yeah, so after we had done that, Eddie has asked us, like, what do we want next? And we said Dimitri Bivol. He texts back saying, call blimey, mate.
He's just telling us a story there, Peter. But listen, coming off the back of a great win you had that was kind of being billed as this 50-50 fight with Shaqan Peters. And, I mean, yeah, you dispatched Shaqan Peters, who was a very good fighter in great style. So I suppose people were probably looking at you thinking, you know, to kind of go along that European level route, et cetera, et cetera. But these opportunities don't present themselves all the time. And when they do, even though you've kind of asked for the fight, when it's there in front of you, you've just got to take it sometimes.
You've got to move the momentum in your career. Like, if you start, like, trying to do things like, the thing is, I couldn't even call it too safe, because if you look at everything, like, you look at other fighters in history, the British fighters who go and fight for world titles, they might fight one big domestic clash, like a guy maybe unbeaten or two losses or one loss, and then they push on, then they might get a bit more, one or two more experience before challenging for a world title. I've been beating guys, unbeaten fighters, 12-0, 14-0, 10-0, 12-1. So I could have beat the first guy I beat who was 12-0 for a British title. I could have defended against at least three or four of them and pushed on to world level. So I've done things a bit backwards. Although I crowned myself at the end of my domestic career as the British champion, I've been beating domestic unbeaten fighters for a few years now. So I feel like I've got enough experience at domestic level. Where do I go? Do I wait for another guy 10-0, 11-0, 12-0 to beat him? Like, I've got enough experience at domestic level and it's time to push on. When do you push on? Like, I can't sit at domestic level forever. I've got to take the next step. And I think the time's now. I feel ready.
When we look at Dimitri Bivol's career, and I always find with anyone who's kind of classed as a big puncher, which Bivol is, when they're not knocking people out, they get criticised. And I think Bivol was found during his career that there's more to his game than just being able to punch, as you will know. But I think he's had a little bit of criticism over people kind of questioning how entertaining his fights are, etc., etc. But this is, when you look on the world scene, I mean, you've got Beterbiev and Bivol kind of sit there as the top two. So is that a fair comment?
Yeah, that's a fair comment. Definitely. He's definitely up there. Definitely a world elite. There's no discrediting him. He's a great fighter. And I remember a few years ago, I remember even Ward talking about if he had a comeback, he'd look at Bivol and stuff. So I did buy into it as well. Not saying that he isn't a good fighter, but I did buy into it. And it's only when I started studying and watching him and I looked at his ability and I broke him down just as a man, as a human being, I thought, you know what, I got the tools I could possess to, I think I could beat him. And I just kept my eye on him ever since then. And there's no discredit to him. He's a good fighter, but I just believe that ever look at all great fighters in history, when they finally get credit, I believe that they beat good fighters multiple times and they don't get credit. Like, I've beaten guys 14-0, then afterwards, he wasn't all that. Beat a guy, he wasn't all that, he wasn't all that. But I felt like if I beat a fighter like Dimitri Bivol, who's 17-0, he's looked at, recognised as a world elite. There ain't no discredit in that. And I believe that I've been kicking the door down in boxing for ages and not getting my credit that I deserve. And I think beating Bivol would definitely give me that credit that I deserve.
I don't know whether it's a UK thing or a worldwide thing in boxing, but it's like a common thing, isn't it, to build up someone's opponent as this, that, and the other, and then when you beat them, and if you beat them kind of very convincingly or however, it's like, oh, he weren't all that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They always say that at the end. He wasn't all that anyway. I knew he was chinny.
You got him at the right time of his career. Yeah,
yeah. He's never been knocked out, but he was chinny. Or like, yeah.
He was overrated.
I never rated him anyway. I always personally knew that he wasn't all that. I'm like, oh, come on. No, you didn't. You never said that before.
And he was 155 years old.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. And I look, even my last fight, I remember watching the media articles, the critics online, and I remember just reading all the comments saying, oh, Richard's going to get his head boxed off, Richard's this, and I was laughing. I was sitting in bed laughing. I was like, I can't wait till next week. I want to see what these same people say. And, you know, they've all gone quiet. And, you know, sometimes people are not happy within themselves, so they don't want you to be happy. So when you're doing great things, they want to put you down. Oh, you're going to get knocked out. You're going to get... Because they're not happy within themselves. Why not just be like, you know what, we've got a guy from the UK. He's going out to challenge and try and bring the title back. Let's support him. Let's get behind him. And I hope him all the best. No, you want to criticize me and put me down. But it's fine because it's happened multiple times and I've gone out and delivered. So keep putting me down. I'll keep performing.
Absolutely. And the best example I remember of this was when Fury fought Deontay Wilder in the second fight. And after the fight, I interviewed Tyson Fury's brother, Huey. And Huey, the first thing Huey said to me was, don't start telling me that Wilder wasn't any good in the morning, please. Like, my brother's just beating him well, etc., etc. Don't start discrediting Wilder now because he's beaten. And, but you have kind of seen it.
Everyone's like, Wilder's rubbish anyway. He couldn't box. I always knew he couldn't box. But when he laid out 40 guys, yeah, he was
killer.
He's a killer. Everyone was like, everyone needs to stay away from Wilder. One punch artist. You can't beat it. I remember even Fury said before the fight, I'm going to bring it to Wilder. Everyone said, don't be so silly. Just do your boxing and move and avoid his hands. He brought it to him and got him out of there. Did he get the credit he deserves? No, he didn't. Everyone's like, oh, Wilder's rubbish anyway. Why don't people just give you the credit for your wins?
Well, how many people are dismissive of Lomachenko now after his defeat to Teofimo Lopez?
Another one, Lomachenko. Oh, yeah, he got him at the right time. He wasn't all that anyway. Them angles stuff don't work. Oh, it didn't work on all the other fighters it worked with. But now Teofimo beat him. Them angles was rubbish. It happens time and time in history. And you know what? It's a prime example. If you watch Terence Crawford, one of the best pound for pounds, every time he beat someone, oh, he wasn't all that. Even like the win like Ndongo, yeah? He's not like a world great elite. But I remember watching him in Scotland, and I thought, this guy's awkward, he's big for the weight, he's going to give anyone trouble in the weight. He won two world titles, he boxed Crawford dispatched him in one round. Oh, who is that guy anyway? He's rubbish. He's got two world titles. They dispatched Andre Ward, never got credit until he retired. Floyd Mayweather was world champion for 13, 14 years before he got any credit. So I've seen it in history. Obviously, I'm nowhere near at these guys' levels, but as I'm coming through, I'm realising people discredit everything I'm doing, and they always put me down, but I'm just going to keep persistently going through the motions and winning.
Well, listen, the UK should be behind you this Saturday night, absolutely. And you pull this off this week. I think it's got to be ranked as just one of the best wins from a UK fighter, period. So, no pressure.
No pressure. No, but that's what I want. And I'd love to go down the history books to having one of the best wins in history. You know, you look back at Nigel Benn versus Gerald McLennan, obviously, unfortunately, what happened to him. But them sort of wins there, he wasn't meant to win. Everyone said he was going to get knocked out. Then now it's a memorable moment that he won. He's one of the greatest fights in British history. And I want to be one of them guys.
Do you know, around this time last year, I think me and you were hanging out on House Party.
Yeah, we was. This time last year, I was living
up. What happened to House Party? Dying of death.
I'll say that is the worst app lifespan I've seen in my life. That lasted a week. It was the best app ever for about a week, and then it just went to pot. Yeah.
When you started seeing random people trying to get into your chat.
Yeah, it started getting trolls. People started getting black screens. I said, I'm deleting this app. Back to training.
We had a couple of parties with the people in the bubble here, actually. Yeah, no names mentioned, obviously. But they were, that was a year ago, that was my point, anyway.
I know, a year ago I was on House Party, a year later I'm fighting for a world title with you.
There's levels to this. Okay, well, listen, just finally, Craig, obviously, just been announced, Everlast have signed you in their 52 boxer pledge that they've putting in back into boxing, which is great for the sport, a brand like Everlast, so iconic. So, yeah, what does that mean to you to be associated with Everlast?
Oh, it means a lot, you know. Like, I've got some great sponsors on board, small sponsors and companies I've had with me throughout my career, and I always did look for that big breakthrough sponsor, that big company, big name of someone like Everlast, who I have been working with for the last couple of years. I use a lot of their equipment anyway. So to have Everlast and Sports Direct on board, oh, I was over the moon. Oh, please, I can't really ask for more than that. I'm very grateful.
We have actually had a request today, this morning, from the marketing manager at Everlast. They've just asked if we could possibly get Craig Richards to do like a quick 6-7 second rap about Everlast. They've asked. I mean, you don't have to do it, but as they're asking, could you?
You know what? I'm more of a. I like to write it down rather than freestyle.
Do you want to try and freestyle? It's only 7 seconds. They specifically want 7 seconds about Everlast.
You got a beat? I need it quicker. We're gonna have to come back for that one. You know, we're gonna have to come back.
7 seconds. Like this is.
You're gonna end up getting me signed by Rockefeller or something. I'm what? Trying to be a boxer.
Rockefeller
right now.
Everlast. Come on, 7 seconds. Come on, Craig. Don't wanna let them down, mate.
All right, here we go. No. I can't do it.
I really thought you was gonna go for it then.
I was tempted.
I was really moving.
I thought, you know what? It's gonna last forever, and I might not be able to take that back.
Just for disclaimer purposes, I completely made that up. No one asked you to do that, by the way.
I knew it did as well.
I tried.
You nearly got me as well. I thought I didn't want to lose my sponsorship this early.
All right, post-fight. Get ready. With the belt.
I'll be buzzing. Once I've got the belt, I'll be buzzing. You probably get me to rap, sing.
Craig Richards, wish you the best of luck this week. Huge opportunity for you. And we genuinely hope that you grab it with both hands and deliver on the night. Got anything else you want to add?
No. Thank you for everyone supporting me. Thank you for everyone getting behind me. Thanks to all my sponsors. And I'm going to go grab that belt Saturday night. And thank you guys, IFL.
Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast, sponsored by William Hill, in association with Lonsdale MTK Global.